You would think that there are a lot of different guys named Steven Soderbergh because he's directed so many different kinds of movies, including Traffic, for which he won an Oscar, Aaron Brockovich, the Oceans trilogy, The Good German, Out of Sight, King of the Hill, and Sex, Lies, and Videotape, his feature film directorial debut. And he keeps on mixing it up. His latest film, Haywire, is an espionage action thriller with a woman in the title role. Gina Carano stars as Mallory Caine opposite Michael Fassbender, Ewan McGregor, Antonio Banderas, Michael Douglas, Bill Paxton, and Channing Tatum. And I'm not giving anything away when I tell you that she more than holds her own against all of them. Haywire opens this Friday, and I'm very happy that it brings not only Steven Soderbergh, but his new star, Gina Carano, to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Had you been a big fan of espionage action movies before you made this film, Steven?
Yeah, but of a certain kind, the sort of 60s, mid-60s, early Bond films. There was a group of films with a character named Harry Palmer that Michael Caine played. And they had a sort of combination of action and narrative that I thought was interesting.
And there were also a bunch of films from that time that had a kind of a paranoid side to them, these espionage films.
Absolutely.
And there's a little paranoid side to this film as well.
She's a little paranoid. It ends up saving her life, actually.
What did you want to keep from that genre, and what did you want to change?
Well, I wanted to keep the style. I don't understand why action films can't be beautiful to look at. And I wanted to keep the approach to character so that the film didn't function sort of as pornography, where there's action and then story that you don't care about. And then when I saw Gina fighting, I thought this could be a new element.
Now, you saw Gina fighting. She was not an actress at this point.
No, she was beating a woman up in a cage.
Well, so you thought, well, she could probably beat up a man as well?
Oh, I knew she could. The question is, which ones?
You mix the whole thing up by having a female protagonist in a film like this.
Well, it seemed time to see a woman do this and have it be a woman who can really do it.
I really want to get to Gina, but one more question. How did you even come upon her beating up a woman in a cage?
Pure happenstance. Channel surfing, landed on literally her being brought out to the arena to fight. And she had that great – you had the cornrows.
Yeah.
It's pretty. She just looked so cool. And she was.
Gina, in this previous life, you were working as a professional mixed martial arts fighter. How aware were you that there was a man named Steven Soderbergh?
Oh, well, embarrassingly enough, now I didn't know who he was at the time.
He called you and you said, who are you?
No, my agent called me and he said that there was a director that I really needed to meet with. And at the time, I had a black eye, and I covered it up. I know you hear that a lot in interviews. I actually had it covered up with makeup, but he said that I really need to meet this man, and he did Traffic, and Traffic was when I saw that movie, I was completely, taken back by it.
Well, you probably had seen a number of the films without realizing that he'd been the director.
Yeah, exactly. So I said yes to the meeting, and then...
And what was the meeting like?
Well, I picked him up at the train station, and, he had a cap on, glasses, jeans, very relaxed, very comfortable, very professional. And we had this four-hour conversation, just, two normal human beings in life meeting. And at the end of it, he offered me this film.
Had you ever thought that you would act in a film?
Actually, I always knew if I was ever going to get this kind of opportunity, it was going to be because somebody came and found me. And I'm just really blessed that someone was Steven.
And how do you prepare for something like this? Did shooting a gun come naturally?
I had a 9mm Beretta, and it's got rust all over it because I didn't know how to work it at the time.
But you shoot a whole bunch of different kinds of guns.
Well, now, after going through the little training camp that I went through for this film, I'm very comfortable around guns. We worked with an M4, a miniature Uzi, and a Glock.
But then there's a whole matter of memorizing lines.
Yeah, which I don't know. I don't think I was very good at that. I didn't really understand it, I think, at the time. Because, the first actor I ever read lines was with Michael Fassbender. So I got a whole education on what reading lines and practicing, acting for the film.
Well, but the training camp was probably something that was more to your liking, more comfortable. And what was that like?
He put me with a man named Aaron Cohen, who's ex-Mossad. And it was pretty much playing war games in L.A. for about 2 months. You know, how to enter and exit a building, how to think like a soldier, because it was Aaron's first film, too. So it was pretty much putting a soldier and a fighter together. You know, nobody that worked on films ever before. And we actually had a lot in common.
Well, Steve, do you normally start a film that far in advance? You had to teach her how to act. You had to teach her how to do all sorts of things that went beyond her expertise, which you draw upon a lot, the martial arts part.
A couple of things were happening at the same time. She agreed to be a part of this. The whole idea was to build the movie around her. While she was being trained, we were writing the movie. So luckily we were able to – it all happened very – it came together very quickly. So we were able to get a couple things done at the same time.
And in the end, this is a kind of like a female Jackie Chan role, isn't it? Including the fact that, Gina, you had to do your own stunts?
Absolutely. That's why I got hired to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly, I think, part of his appeal is that you know it's him. And that was what I felt we needed to – that's the approach we needed to take. So I literally think there's only one – shot in the film that's not you.
Yeah.
It was just too dangerous.
Yeah, there was actually something that I couldn't do. And my stunt woman was Karen Silvestri, and she suited up every day in the same outfit that I was wearing. And then it's where she falls, takes a huge fall. And I was like, no, I got to do 100% of my own stunts. Like, I was talking to the stunt coordinator, and he was like, Gina, share. And I was like, oh, okay. And then when I saw her do it, I was like, never mind. I don't think I would have been able to do that at all.
No, it was dangerous.
Well, Jackie Chan has broken a whole bunch of bones as a result of his doing all of those stunts. I was thinking another thing. You drove a motorcycle for the first time.
Yeah.
And in another Jackie Chan film, Michelle Yeoh told me she drove a motorcycle. The first time she ever drove a motorcycle, she had to do it on camera and end up crashing onto a train. So,
wow.
you know, I guess
no, and these are,
I guess that's like what actors, were, what acting that is all about.
Monster
now.
Ducati.
Yeah, these things are – they're dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know what you're doing on a motorcycle, you can really, really hurt yourself.
Oh,
I was scared for you.
I loved it, though. I mean, I never, you know
– So are you riding motorcycles now?
I wasn't so good at starting
now?
And stopping, but I was good in between. No, actually, I wanted one really bad after that, but my family's not really on board for it.
I've heard, Stephen, that you actually set up a set of rules for each film that you do. And they're different? You then try to live by the rules?
Yeah, it's a visual grammar about what I'm allowed to do in order to maintain a sort of stylistic consistency throughout the whole film. So it has to do with lenses. It has to do with movement. It has to do with composition, editing patterns. You know, I just sort of... I see a lot of films in which everything looks like chaos. And so in this case, a lot of the rules that I came up with were sort of reverse engineered for the fighting sequences, which I wanted to shoot in a way that's not typical today.
In an odd way, you're coming up with your own version of Dogma, but a different one for each film. For example, in this one of the things that struck me was as unexpected was that there was no music during the fight scenes.
No, that's something that's been driving me crazy in movies. And I felt in this case, if we're trying to sell the idea that they're real, then you need to hear it.
And not have something telling us what we're to feel.
Yeah, not
the
have,
music
the,
tells
not,
us what
not
to
have
feel.
The fist socks sound like a cannon going off, you know.
And you also only use natural light?
Yeah.
Now, you've never done those rules before?
I've done variations, but this one, you know, had a couple of aspects that were unique to this specific film.
Haywire is unlike a lot of action films out there. For one, it's directed by Steven Soderbergh, and then for another thing, it stars Gina Carano, who is doing what you see on the screen, all but one very dangerous fall. It opens this Friday. Do you remember what your first scene was like, Gina?
Yes. The first scene was in Dublin with Michael Fassbender. And I was already nervous because it was the first time I've ever been on a movie set like that. And
with a very wonderful actor.
Yeah. And you know, Stephen and Michael come up to me and they're like, you know, if a husband and wife were greeting each other, there'd be a kiss. And I was like, oh my God, this is really happening. Because my whole body was shaking and then my mouth was shaking. And so I think I pretty much looked very giddy in that scene.
Well, I don't think of him as a bruiser, but there is this scene where you pretty much mess up that, destroy that expensive hotel room in that Dublin hotel. What were your guiding principles in that, Stephen? Was that choreographed?
Yeah, that scene came about when I spoke to the writer Lem Dobbs about the idea in general. I said, here's the basic structure of it. I want it to be a revenge film. It's set in this world. And I want at least one really drop-dead set piece. And he said, you know, you should watch this film from the 60s called Darker Than Amber, this Rod Taylor movie, because there's a scene in it with him and a stuntman where they have this fight and they destroy the room while they're having the fight. And I looked at it and I thought, wow, that's really, it's brutal. But I thought it'd be even better if it was a 4-star hotel room and she was in a cocktail dress and he was in a suit, that combination of elements, you know, would be exciting.
Well, but Gene, I don't think of Michael Fassbender as a bruiser. Was he intimidated by you because you have a lot more experience as a fighter?
No, I don't think he was intimidated. I think that he was actually looking forward to getting as physical as possible and let it be allowed and okay.
Well, weren't you worried? There's a scene where you smash him over the head with a vase. Weren't you afraid that you might cut that gorgeous Fassbender face?
Oh, actually, that didn't really cross my mind. Maybe it should have. No, but there's a couple of funny stories about that vase that I will probably never live down.
That wasn't your fault.
That was enigmatic.
Well, do you remember you were like, I want to get this, because he's behind the camera. He's like, Stephen was like, I want to get this shot where he Fassbender puts my head into that wall as hard as possible. And then I'm supposed to take the vase and throw it past into that blanket because he wasn't on film. And so he took my head and he like slammed it into the wall. And then I just kind of blacked out. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I took the vase and I slammed it into his face. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so fired. They're going to send me home. I just totally did the wrong thing there. And it wasn't on purpose. It was just because we had habitually, you know, practiced that over and over. And Fassbender said he saw it coming because he saw something in my eyes change. And remember? So he was like, your eyes did this little twitch and I just knew it was coming. So he was a really good sport about it.
Is this, was it as tiring as going and fighting inside a cage with somebody?
It was just a different energy. And the adrenaline I got from filming this movie just lasted all day long instead of, you know, that one spurt of 25 minutes or however long you're in a cage. So it was just kind of a nice all-day-long adrenaline instead of just a very fast one.
Well, do you think of yourself as an athlete? You're the middle daughter of Glenn Carano, the former backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. But he was the guy who got hit. He wasn't the one who did any hitting in the few times he got into a game. Did you think of yourself as somebody who wanted to go into sports as well?
Well, I've always been in sports. I grew up around horses. My dad had 3 daughters, so he didn't have a son. So I was kind of like the outlet for that emotional pain of not having a son. And I've been doing active stuff my whole life. So, yeah, I've always been an athlete.
But cage fighting on American Gladiators?
Oh, cage fighting was a much better fit because I'm a little bit of a ball hog when it comes to basketball and any other sport. So this was, something I could be completely in control of.
I would assume that because Gina wasn't an experienced actress, some of these things took a lot of takes.
No, actually not. We were just talking about that this morning, that sometimes things go faster when you're not dealing with a professional actor, that they don't overthink it. So actually it went very quickly.
It's amazing how many films, great films, have been made with non-professionals, and then how many have been made
with professionals.
No, but also the great ones with professionals.
Right.
What does an amateur give you that a professional does not, and vice versa?
They're not trying to accomplish anything. They're not looking for a result in the scene. They're not trying to win the scene. They can be, in the right circumstance, present, absolutely present in a way that's very difficult to fake. So it's all about just creating an environment where that can happen.
You said that you didn't want to do what other people have done. So how do you go about choreographing a car sequence in a way that hasn't been done a million times before?
Almost impossible. I mean, I hate car stuff.
I mean, after Bullet.
Yeah, no.
Is there anything else you can do?
God save me from car stuff. It's the worst. But I think we found an approach that I think pays off in a very interesting sort of sight gag that I won't ruin. But that I was working back from that and decided that I would shoot it in such a way to set up this one specific event at the end of the car sequence. So
what makes Gina good as an actress? Do you think that she'll work well with other directors?
Oh, geez, I'm in the room here. You want me to step out?
Yeah, right.
Well, have you gone back to fighting in cages?
No, not yet. Not yet. I'm kind of holding out for a second.
Look, this... The question really becomes what's the intent of the piece? You know, this we really built this movie around Gina, and
nobody would know that this is her first film.
I don't think so. She looks like she belongs there. Mm-hmm. So
you do, Gina.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I've seen the film.
So you know that this was a very specific idea. If she had said no, the film wouldn't exist. So.
Are you working on another project?
God, let's see. We're editing the male stripper movie now.
Yay. We're all excited about that one.
But not starring you, Gina.
No.
No, she just wants to see it.
I definitely want to see it.
And then we're prepping two things.
And Gina, you're just waiting for this film to come out, making you into a superstar.
They're working her hard.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying the process because no matter what, it's been a beautiful one.
And Gina Carano is making her film debut as Mallory Caine in Steven Soderbergh's new film called Haywire, which opens in theaters around town this Friday. And I thank the both of you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Leonard.
Thank you.